This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Kodak Black.
Kind of a nice little beat to get you into the weekend mood. Hans D's in there.
It's swanky.
Yeah, this is totally Hans.
Yeah, I'm vibing.
Did you fly this week, Hans?
Yeah.
You did?
Yep, I flew to...
Intercontinental to, like, Evansville?
All right. I flew a cross-country flight to Pontiac and Peoria at night, cross-country.
Why is it called cross-country?
Well, I mean, legally, it's plus 50 nautical miles away.
Okay. That fooled me the very first time he ever said, yeah, I took my first ever cross-country flight. I'm like, holy crap, would you go like to L.A.? He's like, no, I went to Bloomington or Indiana or something. I'm like, what? Hold on a second. I can drive there in an hour.
It's like here to Atlanta and be like worldwide.
A global trip.
Oh, I think that's great.
But that was a solo flight to Pontiac and Peoria at night. Yeah, it was cool. And then yesterday I just flew around the pattern by myself.
Okay.
And practiced landings.
Are you done, like, no nerves when you go up, even at night?
I think I'm getting there, yeah.
Okay.
Because I feel like you just have to talk to yourself, like...
Yeah, you're it.
Yeah. And I know what
that's
to do.
That's it.
You just have to think, you know...
You just do it. You just do it.
Yeah.
You just react. Do you do you get your parachute ready?
Yeah.
Do you really have a parachute?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, shouldn't you? I think I would want a parachute.
Like some planes have those.
If everything went wrong, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
It looks like a cornfield. I can land this plane in.
I'd do
out.
That with a helicopter. I don't know why people fly those.
I know. All right, Hans, we'll see you at 5:25, or at least hear you. For who you got, Big Ten. Oh, I know you're going to join us for the this or that.
Indeed.
Well, you're not doing it yet because we still need to get something. We got to get the weekend going, Derek. We have to get the weekend going.
Sure do.
It is a beautiful week of weather. So today we're going to tip them for the weather, for Mother Nature, who normally rules us. She is very mean this time of year. And going forward for the next 3 or 4 months, she's very mean. But today and this week and this weekend, she decided to just bless us with San Diego, California type weather. So to Mother Nature, here you go. Let's drink. It didn't play. Let's drink. Ah, yeah. Coming up, we'll give our predictions of Minnesota, Illinois. But right now, it's a little this or that with the man himself, Hans D.
In this episode of This or That, we've got QB matchup of Tanner Morgan and Caron Taylor.
Next.
Tanner Morgan has 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 386 yards, and a 60.9% completion rate, while Caron Taylor has a 58.6% completion rate, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 273 yards.
The turnovers were horrible. We understand that. They were inexcusable, and if they happened again this week, Caron Taylor would not be my quarterback going forward. I would even go to whoever's next.
The Deuce.
That's exactly what I would do. If I see Caron Taylor do what he did with regards to turnovers. Now, I'm letting him off the hook because it was his first game ever played at the collegiate level. He did add some excitement. And you said that on Monday. You at least there was some energy, it seemed like. I'm excited to see what he can do now a week later. They always say in football... that week two is between week one and week two is where you make your biggest stride as a team. I think that could be the case as well with a quarterback that had never played at the collegiate level going into week two. And I think we're going to see a more relaxed, more poised Caron Taylor this week that hopefully will just not do much wrong. I think it's too much to ask for him not to do anything wrong in terms of a turnover or two. I just don't, he's got to limit that. Now, that said, and I'll let you wax poetic about your guy, Tanner Morgan. That said, this is not a contest, Tanner Morgan.
It's not, because Tanner Morgan last year threw for 3,200 yards, wow. School record, 30 touchdowns, school record. Again, we talked about it throughout the week. It's kind of odd that he only has two touchdowns through two games, only threw it 15 times last week against Maryland. Didn't have to.
No.
They put up plenty of yards, plenty of points on the ground. But
and only 60% completion, 61%. That surprises me, Derek.
Yeah. That's a step down from where he was last year, about 67%.
Okay.
So I want to add a little bit on Karan because, yeah, I thought it was exciting. You yep. hold your breath before every single play. Now, for good reasons and
right,
bad.
Right.
I think you're going to trade some of the – he's not going to be the game manager like Matt Robinson. You can slot in there, and he's probably not going to throw a pick or probably not going to fumble. There's going to be the mistake, I think, with Karan, but he's going to give you the big play of the electricity
that
you probably don't have with Matt. So he needs to cut back on – like, there's no excuse to – botch a handoff.
Yes.
Or throw it right to a linebacker who's standing right there. But I think maybe you'll still see a few mistakes. But we'll get into a little bit more here with the offensive line and the running game. If you can let him settle in mm-hmm. by gashing Minnesota on the ground first, I think Karan could be decent enough. But yeah, Tanner Morgan outclasses him here.
A great athlete has what's called awareness. I've said that before. I'll say it forever. It's one of the things I harp on. I harp on rebounds. I harp on awareness. I'm not saying Karan Taylor's great by any means, right? He's got a lot to show before you're considered that. But they have this awareness about them that they look to be almost like Frank Williams. They look to be almost going in slow motion when in reality they're going quicker than you. And I'm hoping that his awareness from week one to week two, the fumbled snap, the throw to the linebacker, like Jay Lehman, get down on the ground, right? Don't get so tall. Get down on the ground. Don't take that hit. I think that awareness will be a lot better in week two, and it has to be. There's no doubt.
Hey. Next up,
who's
we
talking?
Have...
Who's in there?
That was Diane.
Diane's got to be better than that. She's a professional.
I'm getting paid for this, and it makes me look bad.
Right!
No, I'm kidding. All right, in the running back battle, we have Muhammad Ibrahim versus Epstein and Chase Brown.
Well, Ibrahim, I think, is how...
Ibrahim, my bad.
Well, I always said Ibrahim, but Ryan Burns said Ibrahim. I think that's how he said it. I don't think he said Ibrahim.
You know, them up in Minnesota got the accent
that's
and everything,
true.
So who knows?
It's a good
point.
Yeah,
we had been saying Ibrahim. He said Ibrahim. Ibrahim or Ibrahim?
I thought he said Ibrahim. Ibrahim. Yeah. Either way, he's leading the Big Ten in rushing so far.
You call him Big Mo?
Big Mo. I like that. I totally like that. Last year, Minnesota ran on you so much that it got to be almost a joke near the end of that game. They ran for, you probably have the stat in front of you how many yards they rushed against you. Illinois has been better in that, but this is the week. You know how we talk about, I want to see the secondary put up. I want to see this. I want to see that. This is the week that I'll really be either a little bit more worried about the defensive line, because I'm not really at this point, or I'm really going to be bullish on this defensive line in terms of stopping the run. I know they still need to get more pressure. Owen Carney, Isaiah Gay did pretty well last week, especially Carney in that. But I would love to see them be able to control Big Mo. I think he goes for over 100. I think Minnesota's going to prove that. And there's a reason for that here in a minute when we get to the offensive line. Epstein and Brown, though, I'm actually leaning their way this week. And I'm going to throw Taylor in there as well. I think the three-headed monster of Epstein, Brown, and Karan Taylor, I think they outrush Minnesota this week. And I think that's going to be the key to victory.
Yeah, I'd really like to see that in Rod Smith's game plan to utilize Taylor on the ground. I know that he technically had 17 carries for 32 yards, and his longest carry was 33.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. But some designed runs for sure.
Yes.
He's got to be able to commit to just being an athlete out there. It's hard to go against Big Mo because of the stats he's put up. And like you said, leading the Big Ten in rushing, had 207 yards and 4 touchdowns last week.
I don't think he runs that much this week.
Probably not.
And it's unfortunate. Why?
I think it's the matchup.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, unfortunately, they're going to be passing it all over the place. I'm not sure Big Bo gets that many touches or like he has the first 2 weeks.
Probably not. And they don't hit you on the ground like they did last year. Had two guys go over 100 yards on the ground. Rodney Smith had 211, and then Shannon Brooks had 111. Oh. So
330 yards or whatever, 322.
I'm going Big Mo.
I'd like
to see Chase Brown more.
Yeah, I would too.
He had three carries against Wisconsin. I know once you get behind by so much, you don't get as many opportunities, but he showed a couple of big runs against Purdue, and obviously Epstein, we've talked a lot about him. When you put the ball in his hands, he has a tendency to get chunk plays.
I want to see a halfback screen. I want to see a halfback screen run well. Because if you get the ball in Brown or Epstein's hand and give them a little bit of downhill momentum, as they like to say, I think you could pick up really good yards on a little halfback screen. You see it all the time. Some teams just don't know, just don't run it very well. My Arizona Cardinals never run halfback screens hardly. They just don't know how to do it. And then you see other teams that run it to perfection and you cannot stop it. And it's weird how a team can be so good at it and other teams just not very good at it, but that's what I'd like to see tomorrow.
Yeah, it's something that obviously you have to practice and scheme for, and the opponent has to respect your passing game where the ends are like, all right, we got to get there.
Pin in their ears.
If they're sticking around the line of scrimmage, they could blow that up. At the same time, it's a play that really emphasizes your offensive line. So when you feel like you got a really good offensive line, the screen game is
a
weapon to use.
I agree.
Get them out there on those slow Minnesota linebackers and give them some space.
By the way, I love the Big Mo. From now on, anytime there's a question about how to say somebody's name, we're going to just nickname them. Him or her. We're going to just nickname them.
We're just going to call them Big Mo, no matter what their name is.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
I agree with you.
That's an even better idea.
Nickname.
We're just calling Big Mo. All right, Hans.
All right. The wide receiver core, we have Minnesota's Bateman.
Somehow we just went 12 minutes talking about quarterbacks and running backs for Illinois and Minnesota. That is a gift. We're just trying to get to the weekend.
I mean, we got through...
That was good analytics.
2 months, no sports, and found a way to have a radio show 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So, we're well-practiced.
Yeah. Analysis is what it's called, Hans. And you know what you know where we don't work?
Where?
Because we actually had analysis, we don't work here. Oh, there's a timeout on the court! It would be great to sit here and talk about how Duke and Kentucky are tied with 5 seconds left. But it's time for a break. You're listening to NCAA Basketball on CBS. Their jobs.
This is Lon's playground.
That was a perfect way to say it.
Especially on Fridays. Like my buddy Mike Reese, my mentor, said, nothing like having, and I don't know how many watts we have, but nothing like having 30,000 watts of power just to play with every week. I'm like, yeah! All right, I'm sorry, Hans. Go.
All right, next up, we've got the wide receiver core. Ooh. Minnesota's Bateman, Ottman, Bell, and Jackson, or Bebe, Hightower, and Navarro.
It's not even close. Ottman Bell's from Kankakee, by the way, and has really come into his own. He's a nice second choice. Of course, you got 15 guys in the secondary. I know there's only 11 to play on a defensive unit at one time, but it seems like there's 15 on Bateman. So you got Ottman Bell over here going, throw me the ball because I'm wide open. They have some skill at the wide receiver position. The one thing I've noticed, and I don't mean it to be a rip on like Emator Bebe or some of these other guys, Illinois has got to get faster in the wide receiver department. And a lot of times we maybe blame Brandon Peters, let's say in that Wisconsin game where there were times where I'm like, oh, he's going in slow motion, like get rid of the ball. I just don't, Illinois' receivers are not very fast in terms of breaks and cuts and getting open. Now, Emator Bebe is big, and he can go up and get it, and that's a huge, that's an advantage. That's a weapon, but you're going to see a lot of speed tomorrow out of Minnesota, and you saw it out of Purdue, and that's why I love that Rod Smith got Kyron Cumbie on the field a couple of times, two or three times last week. Get some speed going. I want to see speed.
Yeah, you've been harping on this. I think you're right. Bebe has the size, can obviously go up and high point a ball. Hightower is kind of cut from the same cloth where he's 6'3", going to be out physical. He's not going to run away from anybody. This is where you miss a Trayvon Sidney.
Yes.
If he's healthy, because he's supposed to be shifty. He's supposed to have speed. A James Frenchie maybe becomes that.
Good call.
He's a freshman. It's where you would have liked to win the Mookie Cooper, Krugman, or guy Jeff Thomas, or one of those.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done that twice. Why am I doing that? Jeez.
Yeah.
You got two receivers here who scored a ton of touchdowns last year. Bebe with 9. Has he got in the end zone this year?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No?
No.
Bateman had 11 last year.
Illinois doesn't
hasn't gotten in the end zone.
Yeah. Who has caught a touchdown for Illinois?
Daniel Imator Bebe.
That's right.
And Brian Hightower.
Oh, that's right. Hightower had a great game last week. Well, they both did. Both those guys.
Yep.
And, of course, against Wisconsin, your offense didn't even score.
Because of Bateman, I'm going with Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think he breaks out in a major way.
I think you're right. Oh. All right,
next
looks
up.
Looks like Big Mo's coming up.
Co. Keeft?
Big Co.
Or Barker, Ford, and Bebe.
Chief Keeft.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him.
Well, there's a rapper named Chief Keeft.
I really don't know anything about him. But
yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about Big Co.
Neither do I.
I mean, it's time for the line or for the tight end to show up, isn't it? And I know you have to have a quarterback throw it to him. And I know Daniel Barker had a decent game, and Daniel Imator Bebe had a decent game. Maybe I'm just kind of yelling at Luke Ford here. He was in on 50 snaps last week. Believe it or not, he was in on 50 snaps. We either need to get the ball to them, or they need to do a better job of getting to an open spot. I don't know. I mean, I know it's a two-way street. You can only do so much if you're a tight end and stand there, and the quarterback's got to get it to you. Going into the season, we thought Illinois had one of the best tight end rooms in the Big Ten, and I don't feel like we've used them enough. They've used them.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like you've used them enough.
That's fair, especially when Josh Imator Bebe hasn't gotten the volume or the downfield shots that you'd like to see him get, and maybe if you take advantage of tight end matchups, that opens things up or takes some pressure off of Josh. His brother, Daniel Imator Bebe, had a really nice game. Made a couple of plays, the one to the end zone. He's decently shifty.
I agree.
For a tight end. And Barker, 5 catches for 74 yards.
Yeah, I need to shut up on that. I guess he did. He and Imator Bebe. I think I've just got Luke Ford in my brain. That's my problem.
But we've set the bar so high for Ford, which
we have.
Because of the high school ranking, because of what we heard about him. It's time to see it. We'd like to see more.
Yes.
I'll say Illinois wins this, but I'm with you. Still waiting to see just a little bit more from them.
Can I tell you, Hans, my first play tomorrow?
Yeah.
Of the game. When Illinois got the ball, they're on the left hash. They're going to go heavy on the left side, so maybe one or two tight ends on the left side, including Luke Ford. I want Epstein lined up in the back. I want a snap to Caron Taylor, who's then going to... Everybody's going to go left. Everybody's going left. Caron Taylor's going to fake a pitch to Epstein, bootleg to the right. Luke Ford, who's on the left playing heavy, is going to make a little bit of a block and then cut diagonal to the right, where all he has is a safety covering him. I want to see Taylor on a bootleg coming out to the right, and I want to see Luke Ford about 35, 40 yards down the field. Taylor lost it to him. Bam. That's what I want on the first play tomorrow.
I like that.
Should I call Rod?
Yes.
I don't have his number. Do we have Rod's number? Does anybody have
Rod?
I'm
not sure we do.
Okay.
No.
Great idea, though.
Would he just laugh at me if I called him and said, hey, I got an idea for a first play? Who are you again, Lon? Who are you, Ron?
Maybe we can see, the Chiefs, where they roll Mahomes out right, and they kind of sit the tight. They sent Kelsey in,
that
tight end screen slashes shovel pass.
I'm good with that.
Or you roll Taylor out in the red zone and then shovel it to Ford.
I'm in.
Even if it was just really small plays, just give the ball.
I'm with you on that, Hans. Let's just see Luke Ford catch like three passes in the first quarter.
He's only got one reception for 4 yards.
That
right
means
now.
He's got one more catch than you.
Damn.
That's not good.
That kind of hurt.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, Hans.
All right. The offensive line, the 45th best according to PFF, is Minnesota. And the 11th best according to PFF, but without Kramer this week.
These are two good units. And I know Alex Filstrom did a pretty good job last week at, what, left guard, I believe. And he's back again, so Kendrick Green will be at center. That hurts not having Kramer. You probably give the edge now to Minnesota on that offensive line because they returned a lot. Did they return everybody? It was either 4 or 5.
I thought we said that.
Yeah. I think
that's... We were previewing this game.
I think they maybe returned everybody, and that's maybe part of the reason they're leading the Big Ten in rushing with Big Mo. I think without Kramer and using Filstrom, who did well last week, but he's a walk-on former tight end, I got to give the edge to Minnesota.
I'm with you. They've been able to run the football over five yards per carry last week. Illinois was better on the ground against Purdue than they were, obviously, against Wisconsin. That's a really stout defense. This is a unit that I also group in the still want to see more from, even without Kramer.
I'm with you.
Because you got four starters on that line. I know Green's playing a little bit out of position at center, but against a terrible Minnesota defense, they should win a lot of the battles tomorrow.
And you think about it, this offensive line, all of last year, minus a few games that he was hurt, I guess, and then going into this year, we're thinking more pass protection for Brandon Peters, and now you've got more of a guy like Caron Taylor that's going to get out and run, get out and do that stuff. So they're having to kind of change on the fly as well with regards, you love that, because I say it 500 times a day, to the actual quarterback. But I'm with you. I could stand to see a little bit more out of that offensive line. I think tomorrow we will. I think we'll see a lot of rushing yards by Illinois, and I think we'll see these guys kind of step up. And Filstrom now, like saying, in his second game, he's got to feel a lot more comfortable.
On the defensive side of the ball, and Minnesota is the worst in the nation, or Illinois' Perry, Carney, Gay, Woods, and Avery.
I mean, it's really not a... We could just rip through the rest of these, basically. Minus the secondary, maybe.
Yeah, because it literally says on the sheet, worst in the nation.
They are.
I mean, I'm not going to pick them.
No. The stat that we found from Brian Burns and we read going into that day is they're averaging... Teams are averaging 9.8 yards a play against Minnesota. Think about that.
It's insane.
So every first down, handoff to the right, they get 9 yards. I mean, that's sick. And I'll tell you what, we did see a lot out of Owen Carney last week. I know the penalties weren't great. He's got to clean that up. You can't have both. But Carney got there, what, 3 sacks?
Yep.
Isaiah Gay showed some things as well. Calvin Avery's just never going to be their guy. He plays a little bit, and that's it. I mean, he basically just goes in a couple drives. I mean, that's essentially it, but... I liked what I've seen out of Roderick Perry. I liked what I've seen out of Jamal Woods. And I liked what I've seen out of some of these other defensive linemen, especially Owen Carney. So I'm happy he kind of had that game.
I'm with you. It's kind of a bummer that Keith Randolph involved in the contact tracing.
Yes.
So he can't be out there because he made a play or two against Wisconsin.
He had a sack, didn't he, against Wisconsin? Did he have a sack or just maybe?
Maybe it was a tackle for loss.
Okay, maybe that was it.
Hit the running back.
Yeah, because we didn't even
down the line.
Did we touch Graham Mertz?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's my bad.
Yeah, Owen Carney's sacks were very timely. He had a strip sack in the first half, and then in that fourth quarter, two of those drives that ended and got Illinois the ball back for scores were, well, actually the last one that got stopped in the red zone, they ended third down because Carney got sacked. So them against the worst unit in the country as far as their D-line. They're getting blown off the ball. 8.2 yards per carry against Minnesota. With Illinois.
Although they got to step up against the leading rushing attack in the Big Ten. But again, I don't know that Big Mo is going to rush that much because I think your guy, Morgan's going to be back just slinging it.
That's what I would do.
Sling.
Yep. Next up is the linebackers. Minnesota's are the worst in the nation.
There's a couple guys from Illinois, and there are one at least.
Yeah. Well, the leading tackler on Minnesota is Tyler Nubbin, and he's from St. Charles, Illinois.
Okay.
And then...
They recruited the state well.
Well, you remember, PJ Fleck that one year grabbed about, it seemed like, 8 of the top 10 guys out of Illinois.
And then Illinois' Eifler, Hanson, Barnes, Tolson, and Ware.
Jake Hansen's got to get better covering the pass. I read in Illini Inquirer last week, Jeremy Warner kind of, you know, he grades everybody afterward, and Hansen was really bad in covering the pass. I know it's not his strength, and you would hope the middle guy doesn't need to do that often. But I think what teams are doing is they're scheming to get one-on-ones with Hansen, and they're taking advantage of it. So I want to watch that a little bit tomorrow. Eifler's got to get better.
Yeah, he's been disappointing.
He's been disappointing, and he shouldn't be. He's got to be better than that. And, of course, I mean, I want to see more out of Tyreek Barnes. What he did against Wisconsin, get him out there.
Yeah, he didn't really get an opportunity at all against Purdue, which was disappointing. I'm with you on Hanson as far as the coverage, whether it be lined up one-on-one with the tight end or a running back or playing that cover two,
yep,
where you've got to get deep middle or moderate middle or just somewhere near
somewhere.
A receiver in the middle of the field.
Just somewhere near. How tall is he?
Hanson's not that tall.
Not tall, is he?
No.
He's easy to throw over, in other words.
Yeah. Illinois is easy to throw on.
Derek, I mean, this is just somewhere near a receiver.
Somehow I'm picking Illinois here because, like Hans says, Minnesota has the worst defense in the country.
We're taking them.
You know what else is the worst in the nation? Minnesota's secondary.
Oh, wow. Worse than Illinois?
I guess so.
How's that possible?
Yeah, I know. Or Illinois' Beeson, Hobbs, Adams, Brown, and Smith.
It's too bad if Marquez Beeson is a little banged up and still not ready, in other words, because, man, did I want to see him. I wanted to see so much out of him. We've got to get better out of Nate Hobbs, and I don't know how fair that is when you're going against Rashad Bateman, who is arguably, well, he's number two in the Big Ten, right, receiving-wise.
Projected first-round pick.
Sydney Brown, You got to cover deep, man.
Yep.
What I'm tired of seeing is a catch by the offensive team and seeing 8 and 30.
The back of their jersey.
Yeah.
Chasing.
And that's every touchdown Illinois has given up this year. It seems like you got 8 and 30 chasing. So I don't know who's making the coverage mistakes there, but figure it out, boys. Derek Smith was so bad against Nebraska, Wisconsin, I don't know if you try him again. I don't know. The safeties have been disappointing to me.
They have.
And Tony, I don't know that Tony's been that disappointing. I think they're just going everywhere he's not.
That's true. You didn't make a pick there, and I don't think you should. Because it's a draw.
It's a draw. It's an absolute draw.
You can't give Illinois the win here.
No.
Because they've been pretty atrocious.
Correct.
And their pass defense, Nate Hobbs has got, I know it's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Just knock one down. Mm-hmm. Just one. Have not seen a pass deflection. David Bell's a really tough one-on-one matchup, and he owned him, which he's going to own quite a few corners there. But if we're going to talk, and we have, about Hobbs in that all Big Ten type of range, you got to show up in one of these games. It's got to be better.
Okay. And boy, would that be a boost for Illinois if he could somehow show up and contain you can't stop him, you just hope to contain him.
Right.
Rashad Bateman tomorrow. All right, Hans, good stuff on this or that.
Thanks.
You're yawning. I'm sorry we bored you.
Yeah, yeah.
Hans D, not worse than the nation.
No, not at all. Not at all. When we come back, who you got? Big Ten football edition. We will also throw in a non-conference game in there. Maybe some Mountain West action as well. Actually, we're not. It is the drive.
Things are always changing. Last November, did you put on a mask to go grocery shopping? In 2019, did you have to have an extra budget item for hand sanitizer? Two Men in a Truck is always changing too. We are constantly looking for ways to make moving a better experience. Whether you're moving to Dinosaur, Colorado, Freeway, Tennessee, or Savoy, Illinois, we have multiple solutions to help you with your unique move. Go to twomenchampagne.com and start your estimate. That's Smartman.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
Illini football is back. And although things will look different this season, one thing remains the same. Game Day Spirit is the best place to gear up to support your Fighting Illini. From apparel to drinkware and everything in between, they have everything you need to cheer on the Fighting Illini this college football season. Visit them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign or 6th and Green in Campustown, or shop online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. That's GameDaySpirit.com.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
This is your year for impeccable flooring style. Flooring Surfaces brings fresh looks from around the world to central Illinois. And right now, we're offering deep discounts on all the floors you want. You'll save big on Italian porcelain tile, beautiful hardwood floors, waterproof vinyl, soft and durable carpets, and fantastic backsplash mosaics. If it's in stock, it's on sale now. And with over 1 million square feet of flooring in stock, you'll find the right look to fit your style and budget. Combine excellent selection with free design assistance, free estimates, professional installation service, and financing options. It's easy to see why Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered. See us today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
As you drive to your vacation destination, you are assured of a trip filled with great memories of your adventures. That's because you came to Midas for a road trip pre-check. Dave and his crew in Urbana inspected and repaired your vehicle in advance for brakes that stop, a transmission that keeps you going, shock absorbers and struts for a smooth ride, an engine tuned for your best mileage and power, and the air conditioning to keep it cool. Nothing beats a secure feeling you get from Midas Tire and Auto in Urbana. Enjoy the scenery and family time knowing that Midas is with you all the way.
University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, also known as ACES, invites you to participate in the first ever virtual ACES Family Academies. Spend time with your child or grandchild and experience all ACES has to offer. These free sessions will be posted all summer and cover a variety of ACES topics with hands-on activities that extend beyond agriculture. ACES is more than meets the eye. Register for these free sessions at acesalumni.illinois.edu/events.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign. Way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
For 13 years, the Disability Resource Expo has strived to advance its mission of giving people with disabilities and their loved ones easy access to resources needed for a wonderful quality of life. COVID-19 has pushed those to think beyond the expo and outside of the box and create these virtual events that you can participate in. Thursday, November 19th, with the spotlight on self-help and support groups, vocational and residential recreational services too. If you need more details on the November 19th seminar, all you need to do is go to disabilityresourceexpo.org. The deadline to sign up is Thursday, November 12th. It's the Resource Roundup, the third Thursday of the month from 3 to 4:30. Exhibitors also have breakout rooms. Get a Zoom invite after you sign up. Disabilityresourceexpo.org.
Hey everybody, it's Jay Lehman, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you need a mortgage? Do you need to refinance? Are you looking to buy a house? As a real estate professional, I love to use Mulder Financial Group. Mulder Financial Group helps me get the best rate for my home and for my clients. You can find them at champagnelender.com. That's champagnelender.com.
NMLS number 227034. Mulder Financial Group is an Illinois mortgage licensee.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5. Guzman from the Illini Inquirer on Illinois, Minnesota. We just did a little this or that, Illinois, Minnesota, thanks to Hans D. And now it is time for Who You Got. Hans D.
I'm back for Who You Got. Number one, Clemson
do
at number four.
Do you get paid more when you appear in two segments?
Yes.
Or is Stevie, how does he have the kind of money to pay you?
It's kind of, you know, like if you catch a touchdown pass, you get some more money.
The incentives.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
That's what this is all.
Jim said that this music is terrible.
I'm sorry, but that's a classic song. At least
I don't know
for
if he's
me.
Talking about Kanye or if he's talking about our football, the Blitz. You need to specify, Jim, because if it's Kanye, then you're ripping directly at Hans.
Yeah.
Was that one of your songs you put in?
No, I didn't put that one in.
Oh, that was an old school one.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we have number one, Clemson, at number four, Notre Dame. Trevor Lawrence is MIA.
You know what I like about this game? Without Trevor Lawrence, it's actually going to be a game. I know Notre Dame is ranked fourth in the country, but if Trevor Lawrence was playing this game, you'd look at it and it would be 42-24. And you'd be like, oh, that's just how much better Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State. The disparity between the top three or four teams in college football and everybody else is just so ridiculous that it's not even worth my time to watch when they play. Honestly, and it stinks. But without Trevor Lawrence, I don't know who the backup for Clemson is. I assume he's a five-star out of somewhere.
DJ. See, I'm going to mess up his last name.
What's going on? Big Mo.
Big Mo, yeah.
Five-star guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Five-star freshman.
I'm still going Clemson. I think Notre Dame, though, I mean, they got a chance now, and they got to be feeling good. Can you imagine you get to play Clemson, the number one team in the country, at home, and I know probably no fans, but you get to play Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. Didn't they let fans in?
Have they? I haven't seen Notre Dame.
I thought I saw a story.
Me too. I thought I saw
that. Or they were tailgating or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Indiana.
I'll still go Clemson.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Oh, you said that well.
I think so.
Give me a U. I'll take a U there. What's her name on Wheel of Fortune?
I should know that.
I know. Pat Sajak and...
Oh, it's embarrassing.
This is embarrassing.
Somebody, I guess I'll just get to my analysis.
Yeah, go ahead.
We're just so conditioned, number one, to expect Notre Dame to not show up in a big-time game like this when they're playing the elite of college football.
Right.
I know last year they played Georgia. At Georgia, only lost by 6.
Mm.
But I think in their last, I saw a stat, their last 18 games, 19 games against top five teams, they're 1-18.
Okay.
Wow. I get it. It's tough, but also
1-18.
The Clemsons of the world, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, when their quarterback gets hurt, they just slot in another one. Oh, Jalen Hurts is out. We got a guy named Tua who's going to come in and figure it out.
Come on in.
Braxton Miller goes down. Oh, JT Barrett. No, he's hurt. Cardale Jones. Oh, we'll still win.
That's
just
true.
What they do.
It's so true.
I wouldn't be surprised. I know Clemson wasn't super impressive against Boston College. Notre Dame hasn't really beaten anybody either this year. I'm leaning. I Clemson's going to win the game.
Okay.
And I'm thinking about betting it because I think you might get a good number, a good value on Clemson, like -3, -4.
I think it is like -4. By the way, it's Vanna White.
Yeah, we got about like 7 texts in. My mom texted in.
Did she?
Yeah.
Cotty.
He's disappointing people.
Cotty D.
These guys.
Let me tell you how bad I am now. The whole time I was thinking Hannah. I'm like, is it Hannah White? And I could not piece together a V. Vanna White. I like what you're saying.
You didn't even have to buy a vowel. Like, just needing a V.
Vanna, I'll take another vowel, please. And you're
there
out.
Are none left.
There are none left. Oh, I'll still take another vowel. I like what you said. I think Clemson still covers, and I think it's going to be a number that is going to inspire a lot of people go to Notre Dame. I think Clemson covers.
Clemson is just favored by 5. So
yeah.
Next up, number 23 Michigan at number 13 Indiana. Michigan is favored by only a field goal. Who you got?
It's funny that Michigan's favored by a field goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're 23rd in the country. Take that for what it is. I'm pulling Indiana here. And Indiana, the last couple of years, has been on the cusp. I think one year they started with Penn State or Ohio State, didn't they? And had a pretty good showing. It lost by two scores maybe, but had a solid. It was one of those games where it was on a Thursday. You're like, wow, Indiana showed something. They're 2-0. They're feeling it. They're rolling. I'm going Indiana. I think they get it done, and this is the last straw for Jim Harbaugh.
I so want to go Indiana.
I know.
I really like their team. I liked them last year. Michael Penix Jr. is a really exciting quarterback. They brought back their top skill guys, their running backs and wide receivers. They have some firepower on that side of the football. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
But here comes Big Brother.
I just don't know if Indiana's – are they good enough to be 3-0 and possibly just run right through this regular season schedule?
How many times, Derek, has a team like Indiana or Illinois or Purdue or Northwestern gotten out to a good start, or they're having one of those years, and then here comes Michigan? And you sit there and think, we can do this, and then you don't.
That's what I'm thinking. I'll go Michigan.
Okay. Today, I actually looked at this game today because I was recording it, and I'm like, I got it. I'm going Michigan when I pick. But I've totally changed my mind. I want Indiana.
Next up is an interesting game. Nebraska at Northwestern. Northwestern is favored by 3.5 points, over under 54.5.
Nebraska is the kind of team that'll give fits for Northwestern, I think, because they'll get outside, they'll use their speed. I just think in the end Northwestern gets it done, and they're going to be 3-0. We don't know a lot about Nebraska. They look good for a half against Ohio State. I think was it tied 17 all or something like that, and then they end up losing like 45-17 because Ohio State finally decided they were going to play. We don't know a lot about Nebraska. I still don't think that they're that good.
Scott Frost!
So, I'm going to go North. I think Northwestern, I think Pat Fitzgerald just figures out a way to get it done, and Northwestern wins one of those ugly games at home.
Yeah, they were down 17-0 in Iowa City, came back and won. Like you said, Nebraska was tied 17-17 against Ohio State. Got away from them in the second half, and we haven't seen anything else from them, so it's kind of hard to know.
Yes.
These teams have tended to play some crazy games. It was a three-point game last year, three-point game the year before that, and it was an overtime game in 2017, and Northwestern ended up winning that one.
Mm.
You know what? Similar to my theory about Indiana, I don't know if Northwestern's good enough to be 3-0. I'll go with your boy Scott Frost, pull it off.
Wow. That is really... Okay.
Kind of shocking.
It is shocking. Extremely shocking to me.
I don't know if I necessarily believe it. I picked 3 road teams here.
I trust Fitzgerald.
I'm with you.
I trust him. All right, Hans.
Next up, Michigan State at Iowa. Iowa is favored by 6.5 points.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The Hawkeyes have lost to Purdue and Northwestern by a combined 5 points to start the season.
One of Derek's favorite expressions is get right. Iowa gets right this week against Michigan State. Michigan State looked horrible against Rutgers, looked really good against Michigan in that rivalry game. I think Iowa takes over and gets right in this game. I'm not saying they blow out Michigan State, but they get the win. This is one of those 13-point wins.
Yep, balancing the scales here,
yeah,
where Iowa now has lost two close games. They're 0-2. Michigan State's not as good as what a on-paper win against Michigan at the Big House looks like. I'll say they struggle. Iowa at home gets it done in a game that they need.
Okay.
Iowa.
Okay.
Next up, Maryland at Penn State. Penn State is favored by 25 points, over-under 64.5.
On the College of Aces text line, Ryan just said Vanna White's 63 years old. Wow. What'd you just say before that?
Maryland and Penn State. Penn State's favored by 25 points.
You made him giggle. That was cute.
I know. I know. Jim hates our music, so I'm switching. If you hate this,
then there's something wrong with you.
Coming in with a snake around his neck. Let's move on. Penn State wins.
I took the bait last year when Maryland, I think they blew out Syracuse.
Oh, yes.
And they were hosting Penn State, and I took them. And they lost by about 56. These teams don't like each other.
No.
Whoever's going to win is going to run it up. It's probably Penn State again. I'll take Penn State.
Is this the game where they met at half court? Where they met
midfield
and started jawing?
I think so.
I think it was. It was the year that Maryland had, they actually had a pretty good year. And then the next year, didn't they lose like six quarterbacks to injury or something? I think they beat Penn State that year.
I know last year Maryland beat Syracuse 63-20.
Oh, wow.
And then they met Penn State and lost 59-0.
Look at the 63 and then 0.
It's wild.
And gave up 20 and then what?
59.
Remember that Penn State-Illinois game about 10 years? Was that 7 years ago or whatever? I was at a wedding in Beardstown. My buddy Chris Fritz getting married, college buddy, and they came in and beat you like 63-0. Was that Penn State?
I remember a Penn State game of 63-0. Joe Pa was still coaching.
Yeah, I think Joe Pa was coaching. And they, in the fourth quarter of that game, we were at some like American Legion in Beardstown, you know. That's as good as it gets there on the Illinois River. But I remember watching the game and like Penn State was like falling down. Like, on purpose, because it was so embarrassing. That's weird. All right, go ahead, Hans. Sorry.
Next up, we have Rutgers at number 3, Ohio State. All you can do is pray for Rutgers.
Okay. Next.
What's the spread?
Oh, it's 30.
Five and a half touchdowns.
Yeah, 37.5.
37. Wow. Eesh. Yeah, Ryan just said Illinois was down in that game 56-3 at half.
I left the half.
Crucial field goal.
Who was the quarterback for Penn State? Was it Michael Robinson?
That sounds right.
He ended up playing wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Illinois, Minnesota, do we have Illinois getting a first win? It is a draw.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. You never realize how much you rely on the plumbing in your home until something goes wrong. A small leak can end up with a big repair if it's not taken care of right away. At the first sign of trouble, visit LandsInc.com. While there, learn more about plumbing, drain cleaning, and underground solutions. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. We look forward to having you be a part of the Lands family. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Jeff Facer on what Area-Wide Technologies does.
We are a full-service technology company that focuses on business-to-business solutions for our clients, and we handle everything from the security of your internet network and data to implementation and administration of these things, as well as the email and pretty much full-service of anything that a business would need technology-wise.
To find out more, go to Area-Wide Tech.com.
Lands.com.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Whoa, it's too early for that. Not at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. We are ready for Thanksgiving early.
I haven't even bought my turkey yet.
You will need a dependable freezer to put it in before you buy.
It's too early to buy the best pumpkins for my pumpkin pie.
It's not too early to replace that old range that bakes unevenly.
You got that right.
Hey!
I'm going to put off replacing my microwave. Those Thanksgiving leftovers are a long ways off.
Better lock one in now at a great price.
Can I order it online and have it shipped to my house?
Have it shipped or installed online or come into the store. Our award-winning service and sales team is staffed and ready for the holidays. Get your Thanksgiving shopping done early and worry-free at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Great products are on sale now. If you wait, all you get are the leftovers.
Okay, here we go. It's the drive. Tay and Piper, it's Friday. I know we're ready. We are ready. Ow! All right, Hans.
The matchup of the weekend. Minnesota at Illinois. Minnesota is favored by a touchdown. Mm. The over-under is 64.
Mm. That's going to be Matt.
Who you got?
Well, I need to see something out of this Illinois secondary, and tomorrow's not it. I just don't think it's it. I think Illinois will establish a run game and will do some things with that. But I think in the end, Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman are going to be just a little too much to handle. I'll go Minnesota. How do you not go like 65? You know, like, I'll go Minnesota 31-28.
I think it's high scoring.
I feel like it should be more. It'll be more high scoring than 31-28.
You'd hope if you're Illinois, the ground game controls it.
Yes.
Choose the clock. Maybe it's not as high scoring as the over-under says.
Maybe win a time of possession.
Maybe. But I think Minnesota does whatever they want through the air.
Yes.
38-30, Gophers.
Hans?
All right, we got to stop the passing game.
Yeah.
Like you said. And then we got to share the ball a lot more and take advantage of our tight end core, especially Luke Ford.
Amen.
Even if he just, like, shuffle passes, just so he can touch the ball.
I agree.
We need that. I'm going to go 34-28, Illinois.
We can always count on Hans.
He wants to see a bunch of lateral plays just so everybody's involved.
Yeah.
The first 10 plays, the pass is not thrown over the line of scrimmage. It's just backwards. That's pretty good.
But then we'll gain 9 yards out of it.
Nine yards, yeah. All right, got to thank Mariah Guzman, Illini Inquirer. Talked to her in the first hour about that game. And a lot of Hans D today, so thank you, Hans.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody that texted in on the College of Aces text line. We'll be back with Jay Lehman. You know there will be some energy there. What if we win? How much energy will he have?
Let's plan on that.
Let's do. That'd be great. Listen, I said Illinois could win 4 or 5 games. I said that earlier, and then I picked him to lose.
I was going
to
say.
Guess Minnesota. Came back to reality. All right, everybody have a great weekend. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.